Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes you fighter. What's up, keep it lighter. Doesn't mean I'm over.
Hello, everybody. This is Maureen Wise here, and I'm calling to you from Australia, and I'm really excited today. We've got a great guest. Welcome, first of all, to Wise Women. For those of you who are in North America, and I welcome you, and good evening or good afternoon. For those of you who are in Australia, hello, and have a fantastic day today. Good morning to you. So first of all, I'll give you a bit of a link. So if you are outside of America, you can call in on http://twice.com/992-7575. And if you are in North America, you can call in on 646-716-7979. And I look forward to having a great conversation. We are having a couple of issues with getting our client on the line, so we're just patiently waiting. So in the meantime, I'd just like to tell you a little bit about Wise Women and what we do. So with Wise Women, I interview some fantastic women, some women who we're both excited and honoured to be presenting to you. These women are making a difference in the world. These women have taken their lives to a whole new level, and their stories will inspire you, they'll challenge you, they intrigue you. I interview women who think differently, who are successful as a result. Interview women who are making a difference, who are leaders in their community and who are inspiring other women to do the same. I ask them to share their stories, how to make a difference, how they make a difference and what that means to them, how intuitive thinking and creativity has led to their success, and we find out what their life purpose is, what inspires them and what motivates them to do what they do. They're going to share us some tips, some advice and things that can help you in your business, your relationships and even just generally in your life. My guest today is... I'm just absolutely excited to be bringing Karen Gamble with me today. Karen has been a mentor of mine for a while, and I'm really happy to be able to talk to her. She's an author of a book called Unstoppable, a book that helps women to, I suppose, really find what their worth is. A book called Unstoppable, it's actually, as the meaning, the name says, it makes you unstoppable. All the fears, all the doubts, everything that you have that would hold you back, this book's going to be the one that will help you to move forward. Karen is also the founder of a program called Woman of Worth. And Woman of Worth is a professional woman's guide to purpose, power and prosperity. Karen provides strategy and development programs for women in business, and is best known for transforming how women value themselves and communicate their worth. After wasting 3 decades, Karen tells me, believing that she wasn't good enough, and how many of us have done that? I know I've probably wasted more than 3 decades doing that. She's best known for transforming how women value themselves and communicate their worth. She's a vice president of Female Speakers Australia, Southern States, and she shares her passion and expertise for developing clear, well-articulated messages to assist women land their pitch. And we're still waiting to see if she's coming, if she might be having a few problems getting online, so I'm really hoping that that works for her. She helps women to close more deals and present themselves more effectively in meetings. Karen is also a regular contributor to Women with Drive, Ruby Connection, Women in Focus, and an ambassador for Resilient Women in Fiji, which is a cause that's very close to her heart. So today's show, in looking at that, before we even get started, I'm just going to talk a little bit about creativity. It's one of the things that I find I'm passionate about. And I know that Karen herself is a bit of an artist. She loves to dabble in art. One of the things I find with creativity is many of us feel that we're not creative. Many of us feel as though creativity is something that eludes us, that we had as children. And yet creativity is something that's absolutely crucial. A quote here I've got from Richard Branson says, to be creative, innovate consistently on the little things that the big companies ignore. Little things often make differences in business. And it's the little things that we quite often do ignore. Quite often we look at the big picture. Creativity itself lends itself to looking outside the square, to looking at the big picture. And then we've got to bring it down to a way where we can actually use that creativity. So it's not just something that's there to just be out there in the big great blue yonder. We've got to actually act on it. And so bringing in the little tiny details, the little things that we can change, little things that we can do is really important as well. And I know that Karen herself looks at not just the big picture, but also the finer details. It's got to be both sides of the coin. One of the quotes that I did get from Karen, I went through her website and I drew a quote there, and she says that one of the things that drives her is to seek out experiences that will stretch you, expand your comfort zone without knowing everything that's required. Choose to believe you're more capable than you think and back yourself. And this is one of the things that I found for myself was one of the things, a turning point for me, was to actually back myself. So many of us, we sort of fear a little bit of uncertainty in our lives. We fear that uncertainty is going to take us to places that are a bit scary, that we don't know where to go. But we can actually get certainty in our lives while still embracing uncertainty by backing ourselves. When we back ourselves, we actually do meet our need for certainty, and that's really important. And with the creativity, I ran a workshop the other day and I found a lot of the women there who'd been at the workshop were quite often women who, I suppose, loved certainty. They loved to know exactly what was going to happen, where things were going to be, where things were going to turn out. And the intuitive art was one where we just let go of certainty. We let go of an outcome, play with the paint, and just embrace that creativity. And for me, that's one of the things that I found was quite profound about the intuitive art, just painting from intuition. And I know that Karen also does this because I've seen some of her artwork. She calls it abstract art, and it's just beautiful, beautiful stuff because she's painting from the heart. She's painting from spirit, and this is what it's all about. And so we're still waiting for Karen to come online, so I'm not quite sure what's happening. I'm hoping that, she'll be there because she's really got some fantastic stuff to share with us. So I'd like to just keep talking a little bit about Karen, because while we wait for her to come online, and Karen's got a program that is just absolutely brilliant. It's called Women of Wow, or Woman of Wow. And it takes people through a program of several different modules, starting off with looking at, first of all, your mindset. So this, it's called the Esteem Method. And with this mindset that she's got, with the mindset, it's all about identifying your value. It's all about finding out who you are, what you're worth, regardless of your product, your service, or your mindset. It's the biggest contributor to who you are and your results. And mindset is everything. And that's really important. Her next one is also getting a clear message. So we're really focusing on getting that clear message through and making sure that everybody who, in business, you need to have that message of knowing exactly where you're going, what you're doing, and taking your business through to, I suppose, that clarity. So when people, when you know your message and you can get your pitch going, you can actually then attract people who would normally just not see you. They would see you as being absolutely invisible. And so having a clear message is something that helps you to communicate with clarity. Her next module is all about confident movement, owning your body, standing in a way that really shows how much you can project yourself, your confidence, everything in, even just as I speak, I'm sitting up straighter, and having that confidence coming through in your body is the first thing that people actually see. It is that, it's say it like you mean it, like as you come out with your body language, confident, erect, and people look at you and it just gives you that absolute wow factor rather than slumping your shoulders, doing all that sort of thing. Her next one is about continuous movement. Obviously, we need to know how to keep moving forward, how to get momentum happening in our business. And so Karen's next module helps you to take action, remove procrastination. As she says, perfectionism and risk avoidance limit our business. Many of us, we think that we need to be perfect. We think that we need to just, I suppose, feel as though we've got to get all the ducks lined up. It was interesting. Someone told me a story once. He was going for a run, and he said he noticed that ducks just flap around, do what they do. But it's when they start moving, when they go moving in one direction, that's when they line up. Things aren't going, nothing's going to line up when it's just sitting still. It can't possibly. And it has to be motion. It has to be moving forward for the ducks to line up. So while we're waiting for perfectionism, it's really just a method of procrastination. It's a method of keeping ourselves safe, again, that certainty. But it creates nothing for anybody except for a lot of pain down the track. Trust me, I've tried it myself as well. The next one is all about, next module is about personal mastery. So growing your authority, speaking so others listen, refine your voice and body movement to create compelling and captivating messages, develop leadership and presence. So this leadership and presence is just all powerful. When you know that you're a leader, when you know that you've got something to offer, when you step into that presence that you already have, when you are confident, it's amazing how people hear what you say. People listen to what you are speaking about, because people love to follow a leader. Unfortunately, through history, we've seen some pretty terrible leaders. They've got charisma. And I know even in America, you've got a new leader there that people follow. And a lot of that's because of charisma. I know he's polarized a lot of the community there. And, you know, I'm speaking about Donald Trump. But the main thing is he's got that charisma. He's got that essence that people want to follow or not. In yourself, in leadership, you will polarize people. Some people will love you. Some people will hate you. Good thing, because then you're not going to have the people who are going to be pain in the neck clients, if for want of another word, they're not going to be following you. It's going to be the ones who really resonate with your message, the people who really want to follow what you're doing, who you're being, what you're saying, your message, knowing that you can help them. And then as well as that, for step six, Karen also offers regular mentoring. With the mentoring, it's a partnership that gives direction, guidance, and accountability above all. And accountability is what a lot of us need, particularly when we're moving into an area that we're a little bit unsure of, when we know that we've got some scary things out there to do. Accountability can be everything, because it can be the difference between that procrastination, that perfectionism I spoke about before, and actually success and being the person that you know that you need to become. So Women of Worth helps women to communicate with conviction. Without well-developed self-belief, you're likely to be undercharging, even undervaluing yourselves and communicating with underwhelm. And when underwhelm can be as damaging as overwhelm, underwhelm, people don't feel confident to follow you because you come across a bit nervous, a bit unsure of what you're doing. And overwhelm on the other side can be one where people, you can just throw your hands up in the air in despair and go, I don't know where to start. And that can be also another thing that's a little bit challenging for people too, to keep moving forward. So at the moment, we're still waiting on Karen to come through. We might end up making this a shorter show, and we'll see if we can get Karen to come back another time. I'm a bit disappointed at that, because Karen has so much to offer there. And I'd love to find out more about her story, about why she does what she does, what it was that was her turning point. So I think we might end up just leaving the show for now. My apologies that we haven't been able to get Karen, and we'll see if we can get her to come back another time. So this is Maureen Wise. If you want to get a hold of myself, you can get me on my Facebook page. Or on email, you can email me on Maureen, M-A-U-R-E-E-N, at successpathways.com.au, and I'll keep you up to date with what Karen's doing and what's happening, and we'll see if we can get this show on the road again. Hang on, just a moment. I think we're in business. I think we've got Karen. Hello, Karen, is that you?
Hello, Maureen. It is wonderful to be here.
Oh, that is fantastic. I have just spoken a lot about you and about what you're doing, talking about your Women of Worth program. So I'm really happy that you're able to make it today. I was just about ready to finish the show, thinking we might be able to get you again later. So that's fantastic.
Terrific. Well, it's wonderful to be here.
Yeah. How are you anyway?
I'm really well. Thank you. Thank you. Here we are, Maureen.
Here we are. Fantastic. Thank goodness for technology. Gotta love it. So
<Yes. laughs>
great when it works. Karen, tell me a bit about yourself. What is it that motivates you, that drives you, keeps you moving forward, and even what got you into this business in the first place?
It began a long time ago. I grew up with a highly intelligent sibling. It's off the charts intelligent. And I remember as a young girl being taken along, or I felt like I was being dragged along rather, to all sorts of appointments with educational psychologists and other specialists. And after a little while, I felt like I was missing out. I thought, how come my brother seems to have all the, you know, special attention, and maybe, you know, he's got some sort of superpower. So on one of these visits, I asked the consultant, the specialist, whoever it was, and said, look, can I do a test like my brother, because secretly I was thinking maybe I've got a superpower like my brother as well. Anyway, I did the test, it was a rather tedious test, I might add. Anyway, I did the test, and the following week we came back, and I had a bit of a spring in my stride, a bit of a skip, because I'm thinking this is the day. This is going to be a turning point for me, because I know that I'm going to be like my brother. And I said to the person, I said, so am I like my brother? And the response I remember was, no, you're just average. And in that moment, it felt like the wind had been punched out of my sails. It was a turning point for me, but for a whole different reason. And I made that mean I was around 6 or 7, and I made that mean I was just average, that I was just average in every area of my life. And so that did begin a turning point, and it began a journey of losing belief in the value of what I had to contribute, and more than that, losing self-confidence or confidence within myself. So I felt that in family discussions that my comments or my jokes were never as good as those of my brother. And I began to opt out of contributing because I felt like whatever I said was never going to be as good as. And then, so I became a bit of a master at the art of invisibility. It's flying under the radar so that I wouldn't be noticed, I wouldn't be judged, I wouldn't have to feel that I was not good enough. And that played out for several decades, and it's a shame. And so this is what drives me, that women should not have to feel that they're not good enough, because I truly believe that every single person has a unique talent, a unique skill, and a unique value to contribute in some way, shape, or form. And our part of our challenge is tapping into what that is and being able to share that with those around us so that we can bring value to the people around us.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I know myself, having been mentored by you at some stage a while ago, how much that talent and that skill, just, you know, you're bringing that out of yourself and also bringing it out of me as well. And I think that was just, to me, that was quite profound, the way that you did that.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. What I've discovered is that by extending and expanding my comfort zone and my personal boundaries, it allows, it can be either inspiring to others, or it allows other people to see that, look, there's someone else who can do it. I can do this too.
Yeah. And I think when we see that in someone, that we see someone else doing something and we go, wow, I can do that too, it's really inspiring. And I believe that as a coach, that that's probably one of our core, I suppose, tasks might be the word. I'm trying to think of the best word there. Just to help us to inspire other people by letting them know that they can do as much as what we do. And I think that's fantastic. Yeah.
To be the catalyst for change. And that
catalyst
can be through asking them questions that challenges their current thinking and their current beliefs around who they are and what they're capable of. And what was interesting is roughly 2 months ago, one of the webinars I ran, I asked all the women on there to type into the chat box if they, just beyond their wildest dreams, if they were doing their thing and they were in their groove and they didn't have to know how they would achieve this, but what do they think would be the maximum amount of money that they could ever possibly earn? There were no restrictions on that. It was completely up to them. And out of approximately 40 women, only two mentioned a number more than 250,000. So it's interesting that if that is our belief, that we are only ever capable of earning a certain amount of money, whatever that number is, then that will be our truth. That's what will happen, because beyond that is such a foreign concept, and that will be our boundary or our limit. And that plays out in all areas of our life.
It's like a glass ceiling, isn't it? That
exactly,
we haven't
yes.
managed to smash through. Do you find, though, that as women progress up the ladder of success, that whole attitude changes? Suddenly they realise, hang on, I am worth more than that. And so their whole world expands and that glass ceiling seems to rise?
It's mixed. For some, yes, that's their experience. And for others, that voice, that little voice, the self-talk, gets louder where they feel an incongruence. Or they feel like they're going to be found out, or they feel like, gee, how did I get here? I don't really feel I deserve it, or I don't feel I've earned it. And that self-talk can become even louder.
Yeah. It's the whole, what do they call that? The imposter syndrome? Is that what it's called?
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you then help women to overcome that?
It all begins with mindset, and that is the beauty and the power of coaching, to be able to expand someone's thinking around what's possible, to challenge when it's necessary, and provoke curiosity to explore what they're potentially capable of beyond what they'd previously considered, to make that a possibility, but in a way where they are the ones who are setting what's possible. So they're creating their own. It's a choose your own adventure, and they're coming up with what that might be, rather than having someone else tell them what it is that they might want to think about doing.
So you said that when you were young, you had this feeling that you needed to be invisible, that you were never good enough, and that just, yeah, nobody really wanted to listen to what you had to say. So you've obviously overcome that because now you're teaching women how to do this. What was the strategy or the thinking or the technique that helped you to move beyond that?
It's been a journey. The invisibility stemmed from I didn't like the feeling. I didn't like feeling not good enough. And yet, ironically, it was me who believed that I wasn't good enough. No one was telling me that I wasn't good enough. That's why I mastered the art of invisibility, so that I never felt judged. I could fly under the radar and not feel not good enough. The turning point, there are a few moments in time where I had to speak on behalf of a group or in front of an audience at someone's wedding, and there are a couple of other experiences. One was at school, and people came up to me at the end and said, oh, that was really good. There were moments like that, and also some sporting moments where I'd hit a home run in rounders at primary school, if you remember rounders. served out a set of Newcomb, and no one was able to return my serves. And there was just these random moments in time where I thought, wow, that was really good. It felt like a fluke, but they happened on a semi-regular basis. And I chose to hang on to those. I think, and the big turning point came when I found something I was absolutely passionate about, and I threw myself into it with great gusto. And it was a dream. It was a challenge. Family told me, "Oh, I couldn't do it," and no one took it very seriously. And I proved to myself that I could, and I did. I came away with a gold medal and a state title, and that was probably the first time when I had completely backed myself against what others said, and that was a real defining moment for me, that I can do what I set out to do.
And I noticed that you still do a lot of that too. I know with the bodybuilding that you've been involved in, that was something quite different. And yet you managed to really excel at that as well. So you're still challenging yourself and throwing yourself into all these areas where you do have to stretch yourself and work hard and achieve. And the success that you're achieving, I'm imagining, would then transfer into other areas of your life as well. Do you find that?
That's right. Yes. Well said. When we challenge ourselves, really back ourselves and go all out, the gift is not only what you might achieve doing whatever it is you're doing, but in other areas. There is a mental mastery. There is a wiring that happens in your thinking that is transferable, and you can apply to any area of your life. I continue to put myself in situations that make me feel uncomfortable. And so publicly committing to these challenges was a little, it was a little challenging from the point of view of, if I say I'm going to do something, then I will follow through. So I felt by making it public, I had to follow through, because I've given my word, I've made a public declaration, and so it means I'm taking this seriously and I'm going all out. Whereas it would have been much easier to not say anything to anyone, and then if it all felt a bit too hard to say, oh, yeah, look, I gave it a go, but, you know, I was busy and this happened and that happened.
Yeah. So that announcing it publicly then gave you your accountability to the world.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And knowing that you do walk your talk and that your word is of value, to not do that then would have been quite incongruent for you, I would imagine, and then your credibility would have been suffered. And you would have probably, I would imagine, gone back to where you were in thinking. So it's all a matter of just keeping that moving forward. And that's fantastic. I'm loving this conversation. I'm picking up so much myself, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are as well. So I'm just going to pause us there for a minute, because I'm going to give the call-in number again. So we're talking to Karen Gamble, who is sharing some fantastic stuff about her story and about how she has moved from being invisible to being influential, and how she helps other women to do the same. So if you would like to chat, if you're in North America, the chat line is 646-716-7979. And if you would like to maybe even just listen in, or to contact me on Facebook, but you can listen in on outside America on http://twistobtr.com/992-7575. So we're talking to Karen again. And Karen, I know one of the things that you did want to talk about today was about helping women to develop their pitch. So would you like to talk a bit about that, about women and their pitch?
Yes. Yes. Now, the term pitch conjures up different things for different people. Some people think of it as a formal pitch. If you're pitching for funding or something like that, when I use the word pitch, what I mean is you are communicating in a way where you're hoping that there'll be some sort of outcome. And that could be at a social function, a kid's birthday party, a barbecue, a networking event, where we're always pitching, even when we don't feel like we're formally pitching. So we are our own ambassadors. And what I've noticed is that we're always on. So people will make a decision about you even before you open their mouth. And because as human beings, we are hardwired to prioritize visual cues, people will see you, whether that be directly or even in their peripheral vision, and we will automatically attach meaning to what we see. And we could be correct, or we could be way off the mark with our judgment and our assessment. But we will make a judgment of some sort. And so it's important to bring your best self and to take responsibility for how we choose to show up, because we are always on. And that doesn't mean being fake or being insincere. It means bringing the best version of you, and using language that's congruent with who you are, that also represents you appropriately in the context of the situation you're in. So a kid's birthday party, for example, it might be slightly different to a formal business meeting or networking event. And I find with the women I work with, this is probably the single most challenging thing they come across, is to clearly articulate who they are and the value proposition that they bring to what it is they do. They know what they do and how they do it, but to be able to frame that up in a way that's congruent with their brand and talk about the value that it is that they add beyond what it is that they do. And even people who do this for a living find it challenging, because when we're inside that jar, it's very difficult to read the label, because we see it from a different perspective than everybody else.
Do you think that's the reason why people find it difficult? Because they are looking from inside out?
Exactly, yes. And we will have our own beliefs and perspectives, our own perception of who we think we are, which influences the way we behave and our language, which then influences how others experience us, the meaning they attach to that experience, and so how they perceive us. And then that in turn influences how others behave towards us and the way they speak to us, which then impacts our experience of who we are, and it reinforces or it shifts our thoughts about who we are as a person. It's like the ultimate feedback loop.
Yeah, it sort of reminds me a little bit of I was just recently reading about Newton's law of relativity, where he talks about for every action there's for every reaction there's an equal reaction that comes back. So with the projection of how we project ourselves, then people will see that and they will react in the same way that we put ourselves out there. So if we come out confident, people will come back confidently seeing us confidence. Okay, if we put ourselves out there a little bit unsure, then we're not going to really attract people that who we want to be confident with. Does that make sense?
Yes, and
in a convoluted way.
People are, as human beings, we're wired for the what's in it for me. So when someone's speaking to us, if they're in their heads thinking about, oh, what are they thinking? They must be thinking this, they must be thinking that. The other person will pick up on the aspects of their communication that there's just something that's not quite congruent, or it's not landing, or there's a lack of certainty. And they may interpret that as, this person doesn't like me, this person's unsure about me, so they will hold back a bit, and which, again, becomes that feedback loop where people can feel a bit off edge. But in the context of pitching, language is important. And what I notice and continue to see is, and it really bugs me, is women using language that's very disempowering. So they might be doing fantastic work, but they will put themselves down, often subconsciously, often without any awareness of doing it, by saying, oh, I'm just working on a project at the moment. And they use a lot of minimizers. They use terms to diminish the scope of what they're doing. They use a lot of softeners in their messages. And there is a time and a place for both of these, but they tend to use a lot of softeners to make their messages not as direct, so that they're a little more indirect and not as clear. They're a bit more ambiguous.
Right. And do you find that, just in the coaching that you've done, that this is more common with women than it is with men on a whole, generally?
Yes, it is relevant to both, but it is far more common with women. And I was at a networking event a couple of weeks back, and this particular group had newly elected their president, and this president was announced. The woman stepped onto the stage and she said hello. Now, she had a croaky voice. She'd been a little bit unwell, so she had quite a croaky voice. But she started off by apologizing, oh, I'm really sorry. And she shuffled papers on the lectern. Now, she had a handheld mic, so she didn't have to stand behind the lectern. And so this was her window of opportunity to make an impression in front of a room full of people. And so having some awareness of the situation, okay, yes, I have a croaky voice. Gee, the timing's, pretty crappy. But I'm going to say, good morning or good evening, everyone. It's great to be here. Yes, I do have a croaky voice, so I'll keep this short. And then make that short announcement and then hand it over to someone else who can speak for a bit longer without losing their voice or going into a coughing spasm.
So more about acknowledgement rather than apology.
Yes, acknowledge the obvious in the room, or if you've got a particular accent, because otherwise people get hung up on, oh, gee, she sounds really croaky. I hope she's okay. And instead, we got the backstory, oh, I've been really unwell, I've had this, I've had that. And people in the room, because they want to see the leader, well, that was not a leader being a leader. And yet she's a wonderful woman, she's very talented, she's really lovely. But in that moment, that window of opportunity, she created an impression that's probably not one that she wanted to create. So she was pitching of sorts. She was pitching that, here I am, I'm the newly elected president of this group.
I can see how beneficial your message is then, in that how much this is needed.
I get a little fired up sometimes, Maureen. The use of language and also the use of physical movement and gestures. So she had an opportunity to create more connection by stepping out from behind the lectern, because she did have a handheld mic, so she wasn't limited because of the audio setup. And whenever you have a physical barrier between you and your audience, they will feel more disconnected. And it does mean that you will, as the presenter, you'll feel more exposed if you don't have something between you, but you will create more connection. And ultimately, that's what it's all about.
Maybe it's turning that exposure into connection yourself.
Yes, that's right. Mm. Yes.
It's just flipping meaning, isn't it?
Yes, being demonstrating that vulnerability.
That's so true. So I'm just having a look at some of my notes here. I covered quite a few things earlier while we were waiting. So one of the things, though, that you've mentioned here is how confidence, or why confidence stunts your professional growth. What do you mean by that? Why does
there
confidence
are, so
stunt
that, you? Yes, it sounds a little counterintuitive. The word confidence is often used interchangeably with the term self-confidence. And confidence comes with capability. So when we feel confident to do something, it's because we have a demonstrated capability of doing that thing. So we can feel confident to make a cake if we've made a cake many times before and we know the steps and we've got a track record. And that means that confidence is situational. So you will feel confident in that situation. So that same person who is confident in making that cake, if you put them in another context and you change the situation and they're doing something different, that previously confident person will now not be feeling confident.
Mm.
And from time to time, you may hear someone say, I just want to wait until I feel more confident. But confidence never comes. It doesn't arrive in the mail. It doesn't. You don't wake up with it one morning out of the blue. It comes from having a go. So So you're confident. You can be confident in your ability to do something, but self-confidence is being okay within yourself, no matter what the outcome. That even if it doesn't work out for you, whatever that outcome, you're going to be okay. That you will manage yourself appropriately and it'll be okay. Might not be ideal, but it will be okay. And when you can tap into that, you can bring your self-confidence to anything you do.
So why do you say then that it stunts our professional growth? I'm still not quite sure.
Because too many people say, I'm not going to do that yet. I'm going to wait until I feel a bit more confident. I'm not going to go for that more senior position until I feel a bit more confident. I'm not going to start my podcast until I feel a little bit more confident about my material or what it is that I'm doing. So we're waiting for this elusive thing to come.
Which never comes until we actually start doing something.
That's right.
Yes, so I was just talking a little bit earlier about the ducks lining up. So it's very similar, the perfectionism, the confidence, all these things that hold us back from actually becoming the person that we know that we deep down truly are and what we have to offer.
That's right. It's keeping us safe and preventing us from taking action.
Now, you also talk about one thing you said you want to talk about is the biggest credibility killer for women and how to avoid that. What do you think, what is the biggest credibility killer for women?
In one word, it's sorry. It's that word, sorry. It's apologising.
Yes.
Apologising for asking a question, apologising for our existence, apologising for taking up space. It happens so subtly. I was in a bar, and there were people, quite a few people in the space, and a woman or a man, it was no one's fault. They kind of bumped one another, but it was the woman who said, "Oh, I'm sorry." The man didn't say anything. He just looked. And he was fine, and no one was hurt or anything. But the fact that she said sorry, and the reason we teach others how to treat us. So if we raise our hand to ask a question and the first thing we do is apologize for asking the question, it is a linguistic equivalent to making us like a small cowering dog, that we are not worthy and we want to make ourselves small so that no one else can put us down or judge us or make us small. So we're going to do it before anyone else can. Unless there is an emotional attachment, I believe unless we have a heartfelt emotion that we should not use the word sorry. Sheryl Sandberg was big on ban the bossy. Well, I think we should park the sorry unless we are genuinely sorry and feel some emotion around that. Like we've accidentally hurt someone, or that then we are sorry, because when we feel some emotion that we use the word sorry. Otherwise, we could apologize, say, oh, excuse me, my apologies, or make light of the situation. You know, if you bump someone in the supermarket with your trolley, oops, oh, they nearly had a collision or something like that.
Yeah. And I find too that when we say I'm sorry, it's an identity word. It's anything that's I am becomes an identity. And that's why I tend to avoid it, because I find that with saying I am sorry becomes my identity. Why am I sorry? Who am I sorry for? Sorry for existing. Whereas just saying I apologise, if you do something wrong, then it doesn't have the same intensity around it, I find, the same identity word of I am with it. Do you find that as well?
That's it, yes. When we piggyback it next to an I statement or an I am, then it has a lot more intensity compared to with saying something like my apologies or beg your pardon or something like that.
Well, these are some powerful tools that for women. I'm sure our listeners who are on board today will be absolutely astonished at some of the things, because these are incidentals, aren't they? They're things that as women, it's like a conditioning that we've heard our mothers say it, we've heard other women say it, and it just seems to be the norm, without realising the deeper implications, particularly for women who want to go into a leadership role. And with all of these, it just tends to shrink us back, to reduce us. So even from an incidental point of view, because it's an unconscious thing quite often. So it's great to shine some light on this, because it's such a powerful, powerful little thing. And one of the things that I was talking about before, Richard Branson talks about, to notice the small things. And these are some of the small things that encroach and really impact on the big things, don't they?
That's right. And if we were to count up the number of times that commonly a person says sorry in the course of a day, in a week, in a month, when you multiply that out over the course of a year, it's a lot. It's a big number. And that reinforces what we believe to be true about ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's also when we factor that in with things like unconscious bias. So young girls have their emotional wiring connected, typically, that hooks up a little sooner than for young boys. And so they notice things like that. And the stats are really interesting in that both men and women are much more likely to tell their daughters off for interrupting a conversation compared to their son.
Wow, that's interesting, isn't it?
So girls learn from a very young age not to speak over others and not to interrupt. So they become a little more aware of not talking over someone, whereas boys tend not to get told off for interrupting others or speaking over top of someone else. And so when you combine these things, the synergistic effect of the sorry and the unconscious bias that exists from as we grow up from a very young age, they have an impact long term.
That's such a powerful message. I know, having been brought up in an era where women were pretty much told to play the second fiddle. It was, you know, even very young days, I remember my mother, she wasn't allowed to work. My father wouldn't allow her to work and things like that. And we're grown up with this sort of attitude, and that women go inside and help your mother, you can't come out and play with the boys and that sort of stuff. And then that seems to just go down the generations, because that's how we were brought up, and so therefore we bring it daughters up that way without even actually realising it. And so now things are just, like, the tables seem to be turning a bit. There's more women out there in the public eye than what there was, women who've got roles of leadership. And so it's such an important message, because if we want to be taken seriously as leaders, as women in whatever role that we do, we need to address this. We need to be aware of it and then address it. And I think you're doing a marvellous job in that regard too. One of the things that I did want to mention here to you, talk about the difference between being assertive and being aggressive, because there have been times when women do want to assert themselves in that, and it can come across as aggressive What's the difference, do you find, and how would you tell someone to change that or to adapt that?
The difference between being assertive and being aggressive. Being assertive is asserting the point. Being aggressive is challenging the person, the individual. So it's where the focus is on the idea versus the individual. So if you're challenging the idea, that's being assertive. But if you're challenging the individual, it can be aggressive. Historically, the attributes of confidence and assertiveness were considered to be masculine traits, the way that people spoke and the way they stood, the way they used their body. And some women, when they take on these behaviours and gestures and mannerisms and language, they can be met with a response that's rather off-putting. Things like, it's all right, there's no need to get emotional about it, and put downs. And so to avoid this as much as possible, assert the idea or the point and not the person. So make the comments. You're chunking up to a higher playing field of where it's a concept, it's an idea. We see this play out in politics, in our country's leaders, where... some occasions people get rather nitpicky and they will start being aggressive because they're pointing the finger at the person, but sometimes literally pointing a finger as well as the language they're saying. They're attacking the person. That's being aggressive. They can call name calling and other undesirable behaviours.
So could you say then that aggression is bringing out the inner child, the non-emotionally intelligent side of us, whereas assertion, we're using more emotional intelligence?
Yes, and aggression is an unresourceful, reactive state where, yes, that childlike, yes, is a good description. Purely being reactive, and we're taking it personally.
That's a sign of
maturity. If someone makes a comment that is a direct attack, if you like, on you as an individual, that you can then flip that and take that up a level to what is it they're really saying? What is the idea, not what have they said about me directly, and make a response about the idea and not the comment that they made directly to you as a person.
Yeah, so chunking it up to a higher level.
Yes.
Your body. So I want to just talk a little bit about, because one of the things that you do in your modules to do with Women of Worth is looking at how we use our body. And I personally find that that's something really powerful too. I see young girls quite often, having been a teacher, I see young girls and their whole body language is one of slumped shoulders and trying to make themselves look smaller, insignificant, so that they don't always feel emasculated, I suppose, subconsciously. And they try to make themselves, demure, I suppose would be the word. But how do you find that for women in business? Do you find that that's something that comes easily to women? Once they're becoming more confident, or is it something that you really got to teach?
Ironically, for many women, I call it sitting small, standing small, and speaking small. The sitting small, it comes naturally. And if you think about the way women were taught to sit, which has evolved over years of wearing skirts and the types of fashion that women wore, over 100 years or so with skirts. So they have to cross their legs. And these postures and positions, hands on the lap, hands together typically, they are all physical positions that make us visually smaller. And if we use the animal kingdom as an example, what male species typically do is they are territorial and they take up space. So the peacock puts his tail up. Other animals might have a mane or something that they raise to make, they puff themselves up to make themselves bigger and take up space. And what I refer to as alpha males, they tend to take up space when they sit down somewhere. They're more likely to sit with their knees further apart and their feet on the floor, or they'll stretch their arms out, drape them on a chair beside them or either side of them. They will physically take up more space in a meeting, even in a dinner party or a non-work environment. They will take up a lot more space. So when they cross their legs, their knee will go to the side rather than being up over the other knee.
Mm.
So they look bigger. So subconsciously they're saying, oh, I own more turf, I take up more space, I'm more important.
Mm.
And our body, our words communicate our thoughts, but our body communicates emotion. So when we're feeling unsure or we're lacking in confidence, we will make ourselves even smaller. And what you said about girls, particularly school-age girls, there is a lot of slumped shoulders. And that can be related to puberty and physical development and feeling self-conscious about their chest, whether they think they're too big or too small or whatever it might be, but feeling self-conscious because it's something new and different and they're still getting used to that. So learning to stand as if you're not like a toy soldier, but as if you are proud and confident, it says a lot.
Mm. And it's that confidence again, isn't it? Yeah.
It's the self-confidence, Maureen, the self-confidence.
The self-confidence, that's right. That's going to be my buzzword for the day, I think. Self-confidence, I love that. And all of these things, the posture, the language, the little tiny little words and just the thinking around it. I can see how it's all wrapped up in mindset. It all comes back to that mindset. We have a mindset of who we are in the world and the fact that we are of value and that we are a woman of worth. All then comes back to how we think about ourselves. And so I can see why you start the program with that one. So that's fantastic. So we're going to, unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap up pretty soon. So how can people actually get a hold of you, Karen? So what's some of the ways they can find out more about this? Because this is such an interesting conversation. I could keep talking for hours. So what can people do to find out more about this?
They can go to two things. They can go to my website, which is www.karengamble.com.
Mm-hmm.
And also there,
yeah,
yes,
just get the spelling right. Yep,
Gamble, G-A-M-B-L-E,
B-L-E, yep,
.com. And there is a link, and I'm wondering if we can provide that for listeners where they can download a resource. It's a guide, 7 ways to communicate with confidence and authority, and it's about using your body and your language to communicate with greater authority and greater conviction,
yes,
and more self-confidence.
Yeah, we can do that. That can be on the replay. So when people download the replay, they can have that as well. So that's register.karengamble, is that right? .com/
yes,
communicate with confidence.
That's the one.
Yeah. Fantastic. Now, also very quickly, because we are running out of time, your book Unstoppable, how can they get a hold of that?
It's available on the website, karengamble.com, and it's also available on Amazon in both paperback and a Kindle version.
Fantastic. Look, Karen, thank you so much for coming on board today. I've really enjoyed it. Pity we didn't get more time earlier, but, that's technology. That's how it goes. So I'd love to catch up with you again later, and I'll just say thank you and goodbye.
Thanks, Maureen. It's been an absolute pleasure. Look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Okay, and thanks to everyone for listening. That was Karen Gamble, and this is Maureen Wise from Wise Women, and I look forward to seeing you again in 2 weeks. Bye.
I can do anything, I can reach any goal today, I can can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.